I would invite you to please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Psalm 23. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are promised a blessing in the reading of God's word in Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, our journey today through the Psalms, now these 2 years, has brought us to what is no doubt the most recognized of all the Psalms, perhaps even the most recognized of all Bible verses. It is the portion of the scripture that is most easily recognized by just the person on the street, kind of a thing. It's 23rd Psalm would be up there, if not at the top. Well, I think it's a wonderful providence to us that in our morning series, as we're normally going through the Gospel of John, we have just completed our time in John chapter 10. And that's very providential that we have that background now coming into the 23rd Psalm. And I hope that you will see that great benefit. Some of the references we'll make this morning. John 10 examines the role of Christ as our shepherd. And it speaks of the role of sheep and what the sheep should do to that shepherd in listening and following after the Lord Jesus. Remember in John 10, the Lord said, "I am the good shepherd." And so in many ways, some of the scriptures we'll look at this morning, the 23rd Psalm is the background of John 10. So we're a little bit backwards in our analysis of these things. But as Jesus comes saying, "I'm the good shepherd," he comes to a people who are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. And so this is the Lord identifying himself then with the shepherd in the 23rd Psalm. Now, in John 10, we also look at the importance of the sheepfold. This is one of the things that the shepherd does. He builds that wall around the sheep to protect them at night. And we made the comparison that this is speaking of the church and the protection that the church has over the sheep. We also saw in John 10 warnings about false shepherds. And so when Jesus comes, we're going to also look at a couple of other passages that talk about false shepherds this morning. When Jesus comes, he is saying, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd that you need. I'm the shepherd as the shepherd should be." And not in the sense of the false shepherds in Israel at the time, those who were deceiving God's people, those who were drawing God's people away from the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. And so when he says, "I am the good shepherd" in John 10, he does so identifying himself with the 23rd Psalm. Now, he also identifies himself with the Ezekiel passage 34 that we've looked at in the past, and I want to read that once more today, and the Jeremiah passage, the passages that describe the bad shepherds. Over and over, there's this description of the bad shepherds. Well, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the opposite of what you've experienced in the past, and I am connecting myself to these wonderful passages that you know about the shepherd. Now, it's interesting. There's no doubt at all that the 23rd Psalm is about Jesus. I mean, you could probably do a survey of every Christian you've ever known or everyone you'll ever meet. Almost everyone would agree with that. That's a very interesting thing to observe, because so often we really have to get people to see that all of the Psalms are about Jesus. But most people don't see that. So we come to a Psalm this week that we don't have to make the case that 23rd Psalm is about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Last month we had the Psalm 22. That one's pretty clearly about Jesus, because it talks about his clothes being torn and gambled for, and Christ quotes from the 22nd Psalm on the cross. So it's not hard to make the case there, but if you keep going through the Psalms, people sometimes scratch their head and they'll say, well, how is this Psalm about Jesus? But in fact, they all are. And I think that's fascinating that we've now come 2 months in a row to Psalms that are just obviously and very clearly and without debate in the Christian world about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and that brings me then to say that our passage today is, it may be the most recognized of all the Psalms. I think that's very clear. Maybe of all Bible verses, the most recognizable. But it's not the most understood psalm. And I think there are a number of things in this psalm that people have the misconceptions about, or they've even overlooked. Blessings that Christians should gain from the 23rd Psalm, they often don't see. And so that's why I want to spend a little bit more time this month, because of the familiarity of this psalm, looking at some of the blessings here that are often overlooked. It's interesting that many times people who don't particularly serve the Lord, maybe people who don't really even attend church all that often, maybe they have a nominal belief in God, they appreciate the 23rd Psalm. But just a general belief in God, someone will relate to the 23rd Psalm. They like it. It appeals to them. And many people appreciate the poetry of the 23rd Psalm. It's a beautiful example of Hebrew poetry. And just in the reading of it, it's a calming, soothing, loving, personal psalm. And I think what we'll find is that familiarity with the psalm does not always equal understanding. It does not always make the case. Well, we're going to cover this verse today, "The Lord is my shepherd." We're going to be moving at a pretty quick pace there. But what is implied with the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd"? In fact, this particular verse is deep. There's a depth here. What is being implied with these few words, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Just two words in Hebrew. And these two words imply many, many things to us today. And we're going to see a couple of these blessings this morning. There is great comfort in the 23rd Psalm. But what we'll find is that comfort is only there for those who are in Christ. That's the interesting thing. The blessing of the 23rd Psalm is really only there for those who are united to that shepherd. It's not a general blessing to everybody that happens to read over the words with their eyes. It's actually distinguishing between God's people and those who are not God's people. It's a covenant psalm. And we'll see that in our analysis here this morning. So this morning, I'd like us to look at these three particular points. First of all, who is the Lord in our passage? Secondly, how is he my shepherd? You see, there's the covenant language of the 23rd Psalm. And then thirdly, he is a shepherd. And we've spent a lot of time on that, so we'll go a little quickly with that one this morning. Spend most of our time on the covenant bond that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's notice first of all in our psalm as we come, I think that I have that on your outline there, "The Lord is my shepherd." You'll see that in your handout. Let's notice that the word that is used of the Lord here in our passage is Yahweh, Jehovah, some people would pronounce. So the passage is basically saying that Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, that's a fascinating thing for me. I have to confess today, this is my favorite psalm. So I'd actually like to preach for several months through this psalm. There's so much here, I'm not going to do that. But I really love this psalm. This is a psalm that has spoken to me personally for many years, just being familiar with it as a child. I love this psalm, and I love all the psalms. But this one just has a close connection with me. And I love to sing this psalm. I love to meditate on this psalm. But it's interesting to me that this psalm, again, most universally recognized to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the very first verse says that Yahweh is my shepherd. Now that's interesting. And that's something I think that a lot of times people overlook. The prophets speak of a shepherd who is to come. We'll look at a couple of these passages. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Well, you and I know today, I don't have to make this case with you, but it's often overlooked the fact that Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is God. He is divine. And the 23rd Psalm is one of the ways we see that in our passage today. I think it's often overlooked. And you'll see that Jesus comes in his ministry. He often does things that only Yahweh can do. And he does that intentionally to identify himself in his being God, his divinity. We saw one of those in our reading this morning in Mark chapter 2. You recall that? Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Well, immediately, what was the objection at that point? How can he say he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, that's the point. That's why Jesus did that, to show his divinity, to show that he who he was. And that is partly one of the reasons why Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He is identifying himself as being God. Isaiah chapter 40. If you'd like to turn to a couple of these with me, I want to spend a little more time in Ezekiel 34, but if you want to write this one down, I'll read it and make a few comments. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 10. These are some of the ways we see the connection of the Lord Jesus to these verses that speak about shepherds. Isaiah 40, 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand." Okay, now this is Adonai Yahweh here. In Isaiah 40, "Behold, Adonai Yahweh shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." Now, these are passages that would have been familiar to the Jewish people. They're not always so familiar to us, but they were familiar to the Jewish people when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He's identifying himself. In our passage in Isaiah 40, it's Yahweh that does this. It's Yahweh that gathers the sheep. It's Yahweh that's the shepherd. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, no Jewish teacher other than our divine, the Lord Jesus Christ, would ever say, "I'm the good shepherd." There's an obvious offense to that, because you would be identifying yourself with God. Only Jesus can say, "I'm the good shepherd," and it's partly because of the 23rd Psalm. It's partly because of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 says, "Adonai Yahweh will come and feed his flock like a shepherd." Jesus is recognizing himself with this passage. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Let's read some of this. I'd like to spend more time in Ezekiel 34, but we've already covered part of it. Let's look at verse 11. It's interesting, the same name is used here. "For thus says the Lord God, thus says Adonai Yahweh. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep." This is God saying he will do this. "So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day." Verse 13, And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. This is written sometime after the 23rd Psalm is written. So those who heard these words would have identified with the 23rd Psalm. Ezekiel continues here, and again I'll just read a portion of the chapter, but Ezekiel 34 continues down. Let's pick up our reading with verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock. Isn't that kind of interesting? Again, that's the wording of the 23rd Psalm. We read, he restores the soul, he brings them back in Psalm 23. They shall no longer be a prey. And that's one of the promises in the 23rd Psalm, that protection with the rod and the staff. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. That's actually another one of the principles of the 23rd Psalm. Not everyone is one of God's sheep. Not everyone can say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a very simple statement, but it isn't true of everyone. And that's what we're reading about here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Adonai Yahweh says, I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Now, this is so interesting. I referenced this several times in our study of David. But look what Ezekiel 34 says. He shall feed them, my servant David. Again, David's been long dead, but David will come to feed the sheep. And of course, this is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the close connection with David, that typology of David. Well, who wrote the 23rd Psalm? David. This is so interesting, all the connections that we have. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my shepherd David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is a fascinating passage here. Once again, Adonai Yahweh will be the shepherd to the oppressed people of God. And so Jesus, coming in John 10, says, I am the good shepherd. The 23rd Psalm demonstrates the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is inseparably connected to the titles that are given to him throughout the Old Testament, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, and in other passages that we don't have time to look at today. Jesus is identifying himself with these rich personal passages when he proclaims himself to be the Good Shepherd. Now, that is a wonderful thing to think about today. But if we just ended here and we didn't talk about why that is a comfort to you, then we would be missing a part of this 23rd Psalm, verse 1. Because if you're not in Christ, then it should be a terrifying thing to you that Adonai Yahweh is the shepherd. If you're not in him, then he is your enemy. And so if we come to see in 23rd Psalm, what does it say to us? Our passage says, the Lord is my shepherd. How is it possible that Christ can be our shepherd today? Is it because we're so smart? Because we figured out that we should follow after Jesus today. That's why he's our shepherd. Well, some people tend to think that way. But what does the Bible teach us? Does the Bible teach us that God likes us because we're so lovely and likable? Is it because we're so wonderful, and we just bring so much to God, and that's why he likes us? No, actually the Bible never speaks in those languages, in that language, does it? It speaks in a sense that God likes us and loves us for his own good pleasure. And we're unlovely. There's nothing likable in us, but he covenants with us and he makes us his people. That's what we're talking about in the 23rd Psalm. And this is a very common type of language. I just was overwhelmed this week looking at the different examples all throughout the Bible. Just so many times that the Bible uses languages like my God and my shepherd. Just a couple today in the 28th Psalm. We see the Lord is my strength and shield. Psalm 91, the Lord is my refuge and fortress. And I love this language that it's used. What benefit would it be to us if the Lord was a refuge and a fortress, but he was so far over there we can never get to him? There's covenant language here. He's my fortress. Psalm 92, the Lord is my rock. Not just a rock, he's my rock. Psalm 94, the Lord is my defense. He's mine. I am with him. I'm united to him. Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength and my song. The Bible's filled with this personal language all throughout its pages, declaring our connection with God. So right away at the beginning of this psalm, we find covenantal language. Covenantal language. This is how God can be our personal God, because he has united himself with us. And then we, of course, in response to that, we also covenant ourselves back to God. We see many examples of this in the scriptures. Yahweh is mine, then. Not in a sense of ownership, as though he's something that I can manipulate. No, he's mine is covenantal language. And isn't it interesting that when you just survey Christianity in general, how much of Christianity misses the covenant? What's the comfort in the 23rd Psalm if I'm not permanently bound with Yahweh? It's not very comforting then if there's no comfort, if there's no covenant bond. Some of the scriptures that speak of this way, again, many in the Psalms, particularly today. William Plummer says, this psalm, like most others, celebrating personal experience, teaches the excellence of an appropriating faith, which can say, my shepherd. If divine promises are to help us, we must embrace them. The faith which can truly say, my shepherd, my Lord, my God, turns prophecies into history, promises into deliverances, sorrows into joys, prisons into palaces, perils into victories, death into life. And you see, people don't read the Bible that way unless you are covenanted with Christ. And so that's one of the things that tends to be missed in the 23rd Psalm, is that it's talking about a particular people who are irreversibly bound to Yahweh through the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, the scriptures speak very commonly of us being inseparably bound. A couple of those we looked at a few weeks ago in John 10. John 10, 26. You can write this one down. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. See, there's Jesus making the clarification that not everyone is a member or a number of his sheepfold. That's just the very clear implication of the 23rd Psalm. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's again the implication, one of the duties of what does it happen when you are a sheep? When you follow the shepherd, you hear his voice. We'll get to that here in a moment. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10, 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So this is a blessing of the 23rd Psalm. If he's my shepherd, he'll never not be my shepherd. There's that permanence to that covenant bond that we enjoy. Genesis 17 is connected also to the 23rd Psalm. This is God speaking to Abraham, as we are seeing this covenant in Genesis 17. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting lasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And friends, today, don't overlook the blessing of the covenant promises in the 23rd Psalm. Being in covenant with God brings great benefit to us today. All of the benefits that we are going to study in the 23rd Psalm are wrapped up in the covenant bond. David Dixon says, whatever sweet relation the believer stands in with God, he may assure himself of all the fruits and good which that relation can impart. You're bound to him. There are covenant blessings. My friends, today, I'd like you to see that covenant bond that we enjoy with God should be the highest source of comfort to us today. Psalm 23, it does not begin with "the Lord is a shepherd." That would again be really great if the Lord was a shepherd. It doesn't begin with "the Lord is the shepherd." No, it says "the Lord is my shepherd." Don't miss that. Don't miss the comfort that's there. He is mine. He is my shepherd. The comfort then of the 23rd Psalm is not in its beautiful language, not in its familiar language, but in its covenant language. All of the 23rd Psalm is covenant, covenant, covenant. The greatest benefit that comes from our covenantal bond, we'll look at more in weeks to come, is salvation itself. If he's my shepherd and he'll never leave me, well, then we know that he is bound to save us. He has to save us. We're lost. So he has to save us. If we're covenantally bound to him, he will save us. And that's one of the benefits that we'll see in the 23rd Psalm. When we read the first verse of the 23rd Psalm, we know that God will send a redeemer, a mediator, that there's no chance that it won't happen. There's no chance that I can be removed from my shepherd. The work of Christ is sure. It is fixed. And as the character of God himself is fixed, so is our salvation. Now, I have printed for you in your worship order the Larger Catechism questions 30 through 32. I'm just going to read them. We could dwell long on the blessings that are here, but look at what comes to you. This is basically the gospel spelled out for us in the Larger Catechism. What comes to you if the Lord is your shepherd? Question 30 says, doth God leave all mankind to perish in the state of sin and misery? Well, this is a wonderful answer. We could also say Psalm 23 is an answer, because the Psalm 23 says, the Lord's my shepherd. So no, he won't leave me in sin and misery. God doth not leave all men to perish in the estate of sin and misery into which they fell by the breach of the first covenant, commonly called the covenant of works, but of his mere love and mercy delivereth his elect out of it, and bringeth them into an estate of salvation by the second covenant, commonly called the covenant of grace. With whom was the covenant of grace made? The covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. Question 32, how is the grace of God manifested in the second covenant? The grace of God is manifested in the second covenant in that he freely provideth and offereth to sinners a mediator and life and salvation in him. This is the message of the 23rd Psalm. And requiring faith as the condition to interest them in him, promiseth and giveth his Holy Spirit to all his elect to work in them that faith, with all of the saving graces. We're going to see how that's happening in the 23rd Psalm by our being led by the still waters and by being led into green pastures. That's the Lord feeding us through the means of grace. And to enable them into all holy obedience, this is the Lord Jesus going before us, as we read in the 23rd Psalm, before us in our salvation. He leads us in obedience as the evidence of the truth of their faith and thankfulness to God, and as the way which he hath appointed them to salvation. And so we're going to see this in the 23rd Psalm, that Christ will deliver his elect. He will bring them to salvation. He will shepherd his people. This is the kind of language that we appreciate in the Word of God. Not only is God bound to us, we are bound to Him. We are bound to Him. Not by our efforts or our words, because, my friends, today I hate to be the one to remind you. We're covenant breakers. We are covenant not faithful in the keeping of our promises. We constantly fail in that. But Christ is not a covenant breaker. Christ is a covenant keeper, and that's how we are saved today. Not only is the Lord mine, but I am the Lord's. And how quickly that we tend to forget that we belong to someone today. Isn't that the first thing we start to fight against when we come from our mother's womb? We don't want to belong to anybody. We rebel against our parents. I don't want to belong to you. We rebel against society, and we'll conform whenever we want to. But we don't like belonging to something, having to be obligated. That's against our nature. And I don't think we like being God's. Our nature is to rebel against God's ownership over us. Well, belonging to God brings certain responsibilities. We've looked at several of these. I'll just mention them very briefly. But as sheep, in the analogy, if we just continue to build on it, we don't get to go where we want as sheep. You go where the shepherd leads you. You'll be off by yourself and you'll be dead. That's not the way it works in the sheep world. You follow the shepherd, and you go where the shepherd says. You're protected by the shepherd. He defends you. And what's one of the beautiful things we know about David as a shepherd? Remember, David kills the bear and the lion, and he protects those sheep. That's the benefit that we have. But our responsibility is to follow that shepherd. It's to listen, and it's to obey that shepherd. We as God's people, we should do a whole lot more listening and a lot less questioning of our shepherd. Isn't that one of the things we gain from the 23rd Psalm? He's guiding us. He's taking us where He wants to go. Who wants to go to the valley of the shadow of death today? Anybody? Nobody? No takers? I don't want to go there either. But that's where the shepherd takes us. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Would it be good if this is the shepherd leading us? I could take you there today, but probably wouldn't follow. I wouldn't blame you. I can't do a lot for you there, but Christ can. This is the benefit that we see of belonging to God. More than the obvious question that comes to us today as we come to an end. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? Now, so many people today, they know the words of the 23rd Psalm. But do these benefits truly apply to you? Are you truly a following after this shepherd that you read about in the 23rd Psalm? Well, all of the comfort that is here comes by following, not by rebelling. If you're rebelling against the Lord Jesus, then this psalm has very little comfort to you. In fact, it's basically a catalog of all the things you don't get if you're rebelling against Christ. And it's not the things that you don't want to have in this world. These are beautiful, wonderful, precious things that you don't have if you're rebelling against the Lord Jesus. Well, in our passage, we've identified the shepherd, and we've seen that he's connected to us by way of covenant. But we should see also that he is a shepherd. And I think we're building on all this time that we've spent in John 10. But we should see today that if Christ is truly shepherding his people, if he is truly leading them, then look at the beautiful similarities that we're going to notice in the 23rd Psalm between a shepherd and a king, between a shepherd and a prophet, between a shepherd and a priest. Jesus takes it one step further. Most of the time, your average everyday shepherd, he's not going to die for the sheep. It's not very beneficial. Sheep are for food and wool. They're not worth your life. But what does Jesus teach us in John 10? I give my life for the sheep. So much greater than this wonderful prophet or this wonderful shepherd David that we're studying. Jesus gives his life for the sheep. So we're going to see, as we unfold the 23rd Psalm, the prophetic work of Christ, the priestly work of Christ, and the kingly work of Christ. All of those things. The larger catechism, question 45, is one we're familiar with. How did Christ execute the office of a king? Listen to some of the similarities with the shepherd here. Christ executed the office of a king in calling out of the world people to himself. That's one of the beautiful things that a shepherd does. I've heard this. I don't know if it's true, but I think it probably is. It sounds really good. Shepherds, multiple shepherds, all the sheep can be mixed, but the shepherd calls and his sheep come to him. They know the voice. And they don't get the voices confused. They know that voice. So the shepherd calls people to himself, and he giving them officers, laws, and censures. We've talked about this in the past. This is Christ as a shepherd building those walls of the church around his sheep, that sheepfold in John 10, by which he visibly governs them in bestowing saving grace upon his elect, rewarding their obedience and correcting them for their sins and preserving them and supporting them. You see, that language is familiar to us because it's also what a shepherd does. Friends, today, Jesus is that great shepherd that would someday come. Jesus is the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. Jesus is the shepherd of Isaiah 40. Jesus is the shepherd of Ezekiel 34. And there are some major implications here for us, since that is true. Christ is my shepherd. If he truly owns me, if he's truly bound to me, if he's truly leading me, then all of my life belongs to him. Then all of my possessions belong to him. All of my time belongs to him. All of my thoughts, everything belongs to him if he's my shepherd. My friends, see and acknowledge and confess today just how stingy we are with God. Just how stingy we are. We don't want to give more than a few minutes of prayer. We don't want to give more than a few minutes of our lives. But in fact, Psalm 23:1 lets you know that it all belongs to Jesus. Especially the second part that we'll look at this afternoon. I shall not want. Can we truly say such things? Well, there's a lot implied in that. The sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this responsibility comes to me in the reading of this. Do I belong to God? Well, if I do, and I would say yes, do I do a very good job at belonging to God? We're always fighting against that. Let's embrace the blessing of belonging to God and being a part of that covenant. Are you the kind of Christian that constantly clings to Christ? Do you hang on every word of Christ? Do you eliminate those things in your life that keep you from Christ? Do you bring others to Christ? In your life, if you look back on it, how much of your life has been about leading other people to Christ? Or are you the kind of person that tends to drive people away from the shepherd? If he's my shepherd, and there are responsibilities and implications there. When Christ speaks to us as the shepherd in his word, is that we're so close to Christ that the Bible just thunders to us because it's right there? Or when we read the Bible, does it sound dull and distant and weak because we're so far away from Christ? So many Christians struggle with this. Psalm 23 is the answer to that. Walk with the shepherd. Be with him. He's mine. And that answers almost any problem that we could ever have. That covenant relationship answers these dilemmas to us. John Calvin says, although God, by his benefits, gently allures us to himself as if it were by a taste of his fatherly sweetness, yet there is nothing into which we more easily fall than a forgetfulness of him when we are in the enjoyment of peace and comfort. That's well said. And we tend to get so caught up in life that we forget the Lord is my shepherd. Why would we want to forget that? There's so much wrapped up in that little short statement, the Lord is my shepherd, that it could comfort us on our darkest day. In our worst moment, whatever struggle it is, the Lord's my shepherd. In fact, it could be the last word we utter on earth, because it's so important. The Lord is my shepherd. Brothers and sisters, today I proclaim the word of God to you in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. What more comfort can I give to you today? What greater wisdom can I give to you today than is bound up in these short words of Psalm 23, verse 1? And yet, how many Christians live lives of distress and misery and rebellion because they don't trust what God says in Psalm 23:1? They don't want to belong to God. They want the benefits of that, but not the blessings of it, not the obligations of it. I would encourage you, and I encourage myself, as I am always challenged by the 23rd Psalm, let us follow after our shepherd. He is ours. Be bound to Him. He is bound to you, and you will never be pulled apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand together and pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful today for the great depth of Psalm 23 and verse 1. We pray that you would continue to draw us nearer and nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.